your stories from racing's heartland. This is RSN 927's Racing Pulse.
Welcome back to Racing Pulse. Another big hour coming up. Don't go anywhere. About to have a chat to Mick Robins, who turned 90 yesterday. Looking forward to that. We're also going to catch up and find out a little bit more about a young jockey making that Victoria home now, Randy Tan, who has moved down to Cranbourne. And we'll also catch up with Lee Magorian, who, of course, is the very good friend of Andrew Atkins a little later. Tony Pike will give us an update on the New Zealand situation, some of the biggest trainers and horses who are hoping to come here for the spring carnival as well. So bigger hour coming up. But first of all, time to say a very happy birthday to Mick Robins, who turned 90 yesterday. Good morning, Mick.
How are you, Michael?
Good to catch up with you. How are you going, mate? 90 years of age, that's a fair innings.
Yes, I've done a fair job. I think the horse has made a big difference. Something to do and on the ball all the time, up early and worked all day.
How did you celebrate yesterday in this COVID period? Were you able to catch up with any family and friends?
Yeah, I've got grandsons up at the Wimmera and just quietly. Probably would have been, if I had been back in Melbourne, would have been bigger.
Well, I hope you had a great day yesterday, because it's
I did, Michael. It's a pleasure to be on.
Oh, well, I want to talk about your two cup wins, obviously, and what better time to reminisce than when you turn 90, but before that, a lot of people may not know that you were also a miner. You worked in the mines at Broken Hill. What was that like?
Well, I started off as an apprentice butcher, and I think getting about 25 shillings a week. And after the war, the mines boomed. I was short of everything, lead, silver, zinc, and the mines. There was 6,000 men employed on the mines. Well, everyone wanted to get on the mines. There was butchers, plumbers, bakers, carpenters, and they had to stop it. They wouldn't have had no one to run the town. So they brought in a rule: if you came from South Australia and married a Broken Hill girl, you could get the job. That's the only way they kept going. But it was the mines with a go. You're getting triple the pay of ordinary wages on the mines. They had what they call a lead bonus. And it was great. I thought I'd go under for a couple of years, but I ended up under 10 years. It was too good to leave.
Fair dinkum. What was your typical day in the mine like?
All right, after the first couple of days, it was all right, but a bit scary. I started off on the, 900 feet, and ended up 1,600 feet underground. But it was, when you got used to it, it was just like walking down the street.
Really? So how many hours a day were you down in the mines?
I started at 8 and come up at 3:30.
Did you have any hairy experiences under there?
Oh, not really, no. There was a few I knew didn't make it, but a lot of it, for the percentage that worked underground, the fatalities was very, very small.
So how did you go from an apprentice butcher to a miner and then end up working with some of the best horses we've seen in Australia's history?
Well, after the there was no racing through the war years, and after the war finished, racing started again in 46, 47, and I always had ponies, show ponies, and then a lot of the fellas got connected with a horse who was riding backward. There wasn't many jockeys there, and so racing started, and then on race days, they'd have an amateur race. Might have 7 races, 8 races, and one be for amateur riders. Well, I got with a fellow called Jim Scott, a great fellow. He worked for a trainer in Sydney years ago, Bailey Payton, a very good trainer, and he was probably the best trainer in the Broken Hill, and he learnt me to ride track work and even time, and then he got a good horse from Sydney, finished in Sydney, but I happened to get on him and he won about six races straight. I mean, I was no Roy Higgins, but the horse was pretty good. So I won these races and it got me going as a amateur rider. And then 1952, I think it was, I put in and got a trainer's license, just a hobby trainer. Most I had was in work was about five horses. But all used to come to Adelaide for Christmas holidays and loved going to the track in the mornings. And I said to my wife, oh, I'd love to get a job with horses down here, you know. So it wasn't going to be easy because everyone had plenty of staff them days. So I went and seen Bart. It's in 1962. And, 1960. And I knew Bart to say a good day to, you know. He said, no, mate, I'm right for staff. So I went back to Broken Hill and worked another 2 years and come down to Adelaide in 1962. But if anyone had said that bloke will train a Melbourne Cup winner, you'd say, what mental home did you escape from, you know? But times changed. And then when I did win the first Cup, the first fella in the mountain yard to shake my hand was Bart, and he had four runners. He said, good on you, son. He said, I should have given you a job that day. He's only 2 years older than me.
what a great story. Because you before getting, obviously, the great rain lover, you ended up going to work for Graeme Hegney, and that's how the sliding doors moment occurred for you. We're talking to Mick Rovin's two-time Melbourne Cup winning trainer. So tell us about that period when you went to Graeme Hegney, because if it wasn't for his champion horse, Tobin Bronze, you may never have trained rain lover.
Never. Wouldn't have got my foot in the door, no. But, my wife, people had a business had a half share in a hotel, and they sold and went to Adelaide to live. Well, after about 6 months, she wanted to get close to Mum and I said, well, if I can't go with horses, it's not much good me going, working in a factory. So I came down and I looked around a few stables for a while and there's nothing, no room again. So I got a job with a firm called Haywire Crest, laying steel. There was a lot of building going on in Adelaide. So I started there and I was only there about a month. And they wanted to make me a foreman because he was on time every day and turned up for work. And in the meantime, a little fella, Johnny Salento, he knew Graeme Hegney and he said to me, Graham's looking for a staff, might be a foreman's job there. So I went and seen Graeme and started with 2 days later I started. And it was just unbelievable. I started there in 62. In 63, Gadam wins the Melbourne Cup. And I thought, gee, how good is this? I win the Melbourne Cup after 12 months. But that's how it all started. Then a horse come into the stables, Brown, the scrap metal people used to race a few horses with Graeme, and they had this horse come in. Oh, a beautiful looking horse he was as a yearling, and turned out to be Tobin Bronze. Really won the Derby, Caulfield Cup, two Cox Plates, and then came along Rain Lover, and after him. But really, when they say what's the best horse you had or seen, I say Rain Lover, but Tobin Bronze played a big part in it because after he won the first Cox Plate, he was sold to America, and they couldn't get him to fire. He won a race, but he wasn't going as good, so they asked Graeme and his wife and a strapper to go over for 3 months. Well, in that time, we had about 30 horses working. Graeme nearly off his head. He didn't know whether to tell him he was going away, sickness or what. So he ended up telling the owners that he was going overseas for 3 months. Out of the 30 horses, I was left with 14, I think. And lucky enough, one was Lone Lover.
Incredible. What was that like for you? Because I think Graham had trained him to win the Adelaide Cup earlier that year. So you've then, in your own right, got one of the best stays in the country heading towards the Melbourne Cup. And I think when you went into that Cup in 68, you'd only had your licence for about 3 or 4 months, hadn't you?
Yeah, when you come from Adelaide, I got my licence. I started to train, took over the horses in June 1968, but you would have had to get another licence in July, like the end of the season. So I just kept potting around, not going to the track, just doing a bit of work with the horses until the 1st of August. And I got the South Australian licence. But when you come over to Melbourne for the carnival, you've got to get another licence while you're here, like 3 months licence. So I only really got the licence, yes, in August in Adelaide. But I had a licence in Broken Hill in 1951. So it was
right.
I've been with them a long while before the Melbourne Cup, not as an A-class trainer.
Not a bad way to saddle up your first Melbourne Cup runner in 1968. This was Rain Lover's performance in 68, breaking the race record and the second biggest winning margin in the history of the Melbourne Cup.
They've run down past the 3.5, and look at Rain Lover. Rain Lover's dashed around the outside of the field to go to the front, tackled by Falur. And as they came around this turn, it's Rain Lover the leader as they made the corner into the home straight. He's a length and a half to the good of Falur. They're followed by Palatial. Down the outside is Belholm and Star. Then Red Livorno, Artie Coast. Down the outside came Fans. Galilee is coming into it with a big run. At the furlong pole, and Rain Lover's kicked away. It's Rain Lover, 4-5 lengths in front of Falur. Lowland is third, but weakling. They're followed by Fans, but the Melbourne Cup is all over bar the shouting, because Rain Lover is dashing away, and it's a Jimmy Johnson victory in the run of the post. Rain Lover is streaking on to win it by 8 lengths. Fuller second, Fans third, fourth Lowland, fifth Savoy. They're followed by Artie Coast.
What a performance. 8 lengths, the official winning margin. Only Archer, who won the first Melbourne Cup by 10 lengths, has got a greater winning margin. And Jimmy Johnson, your mate, sooling him home. Is that memory still vivid to this day, standing there watching your great horse streak away with the 68 Cup?
Yes, it does, Michael. And when it comes around Cup Carnival, I've been taking the Melbourne Cup around to different towns and for 10 years. It brings back a lot of memories. I had been to Flemington before, but that was the first Melbourne Cup I've been to. It was 1968. Mm. I mean, I said to the little Jimmy Morris and the little apprentice Strapper with me, we got there after the first race and unloaded the horse in the float. I stayed at Caulfield. Come from Caulfield to Flemington, and I said, how could we win a race here today? 85,000 people. And to see him win by, well, just the atmosphere and people in top hats and that. I've been to the races in Adelaide and Broken Hill, but I've never seen dressed people dressed like them. But, it brings back a lot of memories.
We're just losing you there. Mick, are you there?
Yeah.
Oh, just talking to the phone. Yeah, that's better. So tell us, with Mick Romans, the trainer of Rain Lover, what did that do for your life, winning a Melbourne Cup? Did you become an instant celebrity? Did people know who you were?
Every trainer's ambition to have a runner in the Melbourne Cup. But I mean, to have a runner was great, but to win and win so easy, and then to go home and come back the second year in 69 and win it again. I mean, he didn't win so easy. He only went by a head, but he went from, he carried 8 stone 2, which was, he's well weighted the first year. He jumped from 8 stone 2 to 9 stone 7. It was 60 and a half, or 61 and a half or something. But, you can't work with blunt tools. So I've always said that. You've got to have the quality there.
Well, as you mentioned, it would have been a lot more nervous to watch a year later Rain Lover winning his second cup in 69.
Coming around the home turn now, 2.5 furlongs to go, and Shades of 1968, Rain Lover dash to the front. Coming down towards the two, and the crowd roared, Rain Lover in front. Allsoppers moving up on the outside to challenge, and they're followed closely then by Swift General Falur. In behind them, Tails now pulled out, and he's coming home reasonably well only at the furlong and a quarter now. Allsop moved up on the outside to tackle Rain Lover. They're clear of Tails, who can't win, he can't stay. 0.5 furlong left to go. Allsop and Rain Lover. Rain Lover and Allsop, they're going head and head. Rain Lover on the inside. Rain Lover's got his neck in front and won by a neck. Second Allsop, third Ben Lomond, fourth Lockcourt.
Gee, it was a gutsy win, wasn't it, Mick? He hit the front again on the point of the corner with that big weight, and he held them off. Did you think he was going to get run down?
Yes, I did. I was up in the trainer stand, and Tubby Spiff was alongside of me. I knew Tommy to say good day to, and then he had a little radio in his ear, you know, and I think he must have backed him because he jumped as high on the as the ceiling. He said, "You won, you won," and... well, which he did, but I was pleased when Crack Bait went up because Jimmy was a great rider, but a bit unorthodox, you know, with the whip, and I was pleased when Crack Bait went up. The whip was going everywhere. The first year, I reckon I could have won on him. He was that easy, but I don't reckon any other jockey in Australia would have won on him by Jay Johnson the second year, because they would have nursed him with the weight, but he rode the same type of race on him as he did the first year with 8 stone 2.
Tell us about your great mate, Jimmy Johnson. Of course, he won 3 Melbourne Cups, and you and Jimmy did so much for the Melbourne Cup with the Melbourne Cup Tour as well.
When I come down from Broken Hill, he was still in Adelaide, riding, and then he left to come over to ride for Tony Lopes, Chiquita Lodge. But he was a great little fellow. He a bit unorthodox with the whip, but I tried to ride like him, but he had terrific balance. He could hit him anywhere. But I don't know how he'd be now with the whip rule. I don't think he'd be riding much. He'd be out more than he was in.
That 69 Melbourne Cup was a controversial one as well, because you had the big Falu nobbling. What are your memories of that?
Well, I stayed at Flemington the first year. Caulfield the first year. Stayed at Flemington the second year. And we call up on the hill. We used to be a stable. And Bart's stable was only 2 doors from where I was staying. I was staying with an old trainer called Mick Alessio. And cup day, you could walk down in the mornings to work them down the hill to the slipping stalls in Flemington. But race day being a big day like Melbourne Cup, you had to float them down to make sure they got there. So he came down in the float with Big Falu, Rain Lover, and my strapper come and see me when we got there. He said, "I don't like the look of Big Falu." He said, "He's scouring pretty bad." Well, I was in getting a saddle, and I got the saddle, and Roy Higgins was standing there with the saddle ready for Bart's foreman to come and get the saddle. And next thing, an announcement come over the system. Important notice, announcement that Big Falu's been scratched. Well, everyone was saying, "Is that bad?" Well, under my breath, I thought, it's one out the way, because I thought he'd be hard to beat, you know.
Mm. Oh, incredible moment in Australian racing. Mick, 2 Melbourne Cups, Rain Lover. Did you chat to Graeme Hegney about what happened, and he left to go to the States and missed out on those cups, and you did such a brilliant job with his horse?
Yes, he came home on the Friday night before the Melbourne Cup from America, and he came over, he was at the Melbourne Cup on the Tuesday. He won there on the Saturday. He won the McKinnon on the Saturday, he beat Falur. Then he won the Cup on the Tuesday, beat Falur. And then the following Saturday, the owner said, "Yeah, run him again. And he beat Fleur again. He beat Fleur 3 times in the week. And another couple of trainers said to me, they said, don't get a big head. Fail that one on the Thursday. He won 4 in a week.
But you and Graham remained good friends, and he wasn't...
Well, they interviewed him. They said, do you think you'll get the horse back? He said, anyone trains a Melbourne Cup winner deserves to keep him. Well, winner two made it... But, naturally he was disappointed because I broke him in. I was there when he was a yearling, but that's the way the cookie crumbles, I suppose.
Mick, you sound so sprightly and sharp as a tack for 90 years of age. Mick Rovins, champion Melbourne Cup trainer of Rain Lover, who had his birthday yesterday. You still follow the racing closely?
Yeah, I like it. I've never ever... I raced a couple of my wife's name and a couple of mates of mine, but I never got keen about racing them, but working them and being with them, that was my go, you know. I love to be around them, but it's all changed now. I mean, it's I used to love to come over from Adelaide and I had a couple of offers to stay in Melbourne, but my wife wanted to get back to Adelaide. And it's, owners and trainers are a bit different them days. I got a couple of extra owners, but just because you want a Melbourne Cup, they never come knocking on the door, you know.
Well, Mick, you're a part of racing folklore. 2 Melbourne Cups sitting on the mantelpiece, and it's so good to catch up with you today and hear that you're doing well. I'm glad you're in the Wimmera. You're out of Melbourne, keeping safe during these terrible periods. And, mate, it's been great to catch up.
It's been a pleasure to be on, Michael.